Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are listening to this podcast. Welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. We're so glad to have you here with us today. I'm your host, Jason Mastrodonato of the Boston Herald, longtime sports reporter in Boston covering the Red Sox, and joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, NESN's Lauren Campbell, who covers all things sports over at NESN, the hub of Boston sports. So we haven't been together in a couple weeks, Lauren. You were holding down the fort for me, and then I did one on my own yesterday, and so this is the first time we get to talk together.
I'm really good. It does. I'm so excited, especially after Monday's monstrosity of a game. I'm sure that we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there is a lot to talk about. I was talking on Monday's show about how I thought they actually played quite well over the weekend, even though they lost and they had, 11 guys on the COVID list. And then Monday's game happens and it's like, oh my God, what is this team? So we've got obviously a lot to break down from Monday's game. The Red Sox were up 7-1 with Chris Sale on the mound and somehow lost, which might have been the craziest way to lose a game that I've seen in a long time. So we will dig into all of that, talk about where the Red Sox go from here, what the playoff rotation might look like. We've got a lot to discuss. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto, reliably low prices, all the car parts you'll ever need, rockauto.com. All right, well, Chris Sale did not pitch great on Monday, but there was one play that pretty much ruined everything for him, and it was just a really tough day for Alex Verdugo in the outfield, in center field, really, which he hasn't played a whole lot of since he's joined the Red Sox at Fenway Park. And listen, we will start by making the excuses for him, right? It's a sunny day at Fenway Park, afternoon games. This happens somewhat often at Fenway Park. We see this with the shadows where players just struggle catching fly balls in the outfield in afternoon games. And that was certainly the case with Alex Verdugo. But the first play that I thought was, it had nothing to do with the sun, was the first inning. Wander Franco hit a towering fly ball to center field. And it's a play that Jackie Bradley Jr. makes 10 out of 10 times. It's a play that an average center fielder probably makes 9 out of 10 times. And it's a play that Verdugo made look pretty difficult. Just a kind of a routine fly ball at the wall. He had to jump, just mistimed his jump, bounced right next to him. Franco gets a triple. He scores the next play. Rays are on the board against Chris Sale. And then Chris Sale had to do extra work in the first inning, which all led to more Verdugo mistakes after the Red Sox went up 7-1 in the third. Just dropped a routine fly ball in the middle of the outfield with bases loaded and two outs, three runs scored, and then Nelson Cruz, who hit the ball, scored when Taylor Motter had a throwing error. And then naturally in the ninth inning, again, Verdugo kind of fumbled another similar fly ball at the center field wall. That one was probably uncatchable, but he put himself right up against the wall. It bounced behind him. Austin Meadows hits an inside the park home run. There's your recap, but basically all you need to know is Verdugo really struggled in center field, right, Lauren?
Oh, yeah. It was bad, and it was really ugly, very ugly game for Verdugo. And like you said, he hadn't played a lot of center field, and outfield is not an easy position to play, especially if you're used to one specific side. And that's a lot of ground to cover out in center field, and Fenway, too. So not a lot was going right for him, but I get the same time now it's like, I cannot wait for Kike Hernandez to get back because he's played and he's been successful in center field. And I'm like, this, hurry up. Like, can he be activated right now? Like, can we pinch him in there for Verdugo? Because it was very ugly, except for the last one. Like you said, that probably was uncatchable. So I'm not, like, harping too much on that. But those first two, he should have had.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, the one in the sun, Hunter Renfro said the large fireball in the sky is undefeated, which I just love that quote, saying you can't beat the sun. It happens. And he said if there would have been a fly ball to right field between the sixth and the tenth inning, the same thing would have happened to him, although it was the fourth inning, I think, that happened. So I don't know. It's tough. I can't remember Jackie Bradley Jr. losing fly balls in the sun maybe once, if not ever. it's just hard. It's hard to look at it and say a good center fielder wouldn't make that play. I mean, it certainly seems like he would. Now, you mentioned Kike, who's supposed to come back on Tuesday, activated from the COVID list. We don't know how he's going to be after being out 10 days, not being able to do much exercise. But the bigger question, Lauren, is how do you fit all these guys in the lineup now? Because like you said, you're just like, hey, we get Kike Hernandez back in center field. He's played a great center field this year, no question about it. He's been really good out there defensively. But how do you get him in the lineup? Because if you move him to center field, that means Verdugo goes back to left, and now you're back with two DHs again and Schwarber and Martinez. And if you put Schwarber at first base, well, now Bobby Dalbec, who's like the hottest hitter in baseball over the last month, is now on the bench. So how do you make this work?
Yeah, they have a lot of questions to answer when players start coming back, and I don't know how it works. Like, do you just give Verdugo a game or two off and then just kind of go from there and try to figure it out over the next couple of days? I mean, this is the series with the Rays. You want your best players on there. You don't want to take Dalbec out. You certainly don't want to take Schwarber out. I mean, maybe you sit JD when he's, you know, kind of still kind of slumping and just looks lost at the plate at times, just swinging at everything. But this is going to be a problem, too, when Xander comes back. Like, there's going to be no question he's going back to short. But, you know, they picked up a lot of depth. They have a lot of players playing well. And there's going to be a lot of questions that need answering. And we probably won't get those answers until day of, when people are getting optioned back to Worcester. And it doesn't really seem like this whole COVID outbreak is going away. I mean, tomorrow we could wake up and have more cases. So, I mean, I just don't know if it's smart to bench Verdugo for at least one game, but I feel like he's the odd man out almost.
Yeah, to me it looks like it's going to, if I had to guess, I think it's going to be basically a platoon between Alex Verdugo and Bobby Dalbec. And obviously they play different positions, but what I mean by platoon is if there's a lefty on the mound, I'd expect Verdugo to be on the bench, Dalbec to be at first base, Schwarber, Martinez in left field, one of them DHing, and then Kike and Renfroe in center and right. And if it's a right-hander on the mound, well, now you have Schwarber at first base. Verdugo goes back to left field. And now who do you have at second base against the right-hander? That's the question. Is it Christian Arroyo when he comes back from the COVID list? Is it someone else that you have at second base? I don't know. I just don't know how you make this work unless Kike goes back to second base. And then you could keep your best offensive lineup in the field. But that means Verdugo stays in center field. And that was my big takeaway from watching Monday's game, is a lot of people are like, well, you know, they're missing a lot of guys from COVID right now. You know, it was a tough, you know, they didn't play well, but what you got to expect it. You know, they're missing all these guys from COVID. It's like, okay, well, Verdugo is still going to be there. Verdugo doesn't have COVID, and Verdugo is a regular player, and he looked awful in center field. This is still a question you have to answer. It has nothing to do with COVID. It has nothing to do with who else is missing right now. Yeah, Taylor Motter made a disastrous throw to butcher it. They made four runs score instead of three. But this was on Verdugo. Verdugo was on the hook for like five runs today with his defensive mistake. So the question is, can he play center field? Do you trust him there, or do you prefer defense and then you lose one of your big bats in the lineup?
This is such a tough question because it brings you right back to JBJ, because you went, even though his offense was streaky and he was never known to be a big power hitter or hit for power or whatever, but that defense was second to none. You never wanted that out there. And now it's the exact opposite of a problem here. Like, do you want to take that bat out of the lineup and risk having him on the bench, or do you want to just kind of stick with him in center field and just hope for the best? Because those plays happen a lot in center field. That's, you know, it's one of the deepest parts of the park. That ball's going to get hit there. It's not like, I don't know, it's not like balls never get hit there. Like, he has to, I don't know if he has to, I mean, you don't have any time now to, like, perfect your craft in center field. Like, maybe he's just not a center fielder. And I think they saw enough Monday to hopefully not put him in center field again. But again, where do you put him? Like, where do you shuffle your lineup? Where do you put defense above offense? Do you put offense above defense? Like, there's, I mean, five runs, that's the difference in the game right there. You know, the Red Sox had this game, and if Verdugo caught at least one of those balls, it's a totally different ball game.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I would do coming up in the second segment, and we're going to talk about some other things that happened in Monday's game and where the Red Sox go from here coming up next. So stick around for that. We are brought to you by Stat Hero. Did you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention the experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. They show you the lineups and they dare you to beat them. It's you against the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you the lineups ahead of time. Nobody else does this, so you're in control. If you go to stathero.com/lockedon, you could sign up for free right now, and you will get 3 times back on your first play. So they're going to give you a 300% bonus match. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. All right, welcome back to the second segment of the show. We're talking about Alex Verdugo and what to do with the Red Sox outfield. So I think I know what I would do, which is stick with Alex Verdugo in center field. I know it didn't look good on Monday, and it's I mean, obviously it cost them the game. It was disastrous. I don't think it was one of those things that made you say, this guy can never play center field again. Dropping a fly ball in the sun, it happens. It does happen. And, you know, the plays at the wall, he could have made those mistakes in left field or right field. I don't think it matters whether he was in center field. Yes, I think he's been a much better corner outfielder. It'd be one thing if he had a clear second baseman who was tremendous, but Arroyo hasn't played in a while. And even before the COVID thing, he was out. Wasn't he out with an injury?
Several.
I can't remember now. Several injuries, right? He hurt his hamstring trying to play first base.
And the hand injury, he was hit twice on like the same hand.
Yep. So it'd be one thing if he had like a phenomenal second baseman to turn to, but you don't even know if Arroyo's healthy, how well he's going to play. Is this guy a guy you want in your starting lineup? I think I would stick with Verdugo in center, and it gives you the best offense. I mean, you just acquired Kyle Schwarber. He's got to play. He's basically been the best hitter in the lineup since he's been in the lineup. You know, you're not going to take JD out of the lineup. And JD's been fine in the outfield. You know, he's not a stud, but he's perfectly fine. And as good as Bobby Dalbec's been, how do you take him out of the lineup? So, you know, you made a good point. You said, let's see what happens and how this unfolds, because there's still a month to go before the playoffs. Bobby Dalbec could cool off and then be a no-brainer. Schwarber at first base, Verdugo goes back to left. Maybe Arroyo plays second and Kike's in center. But if Bobby's still hot, if we get to playoff time and Bobby's still hitting this way, you can't take that guy out. And so I'd almost say, you know what, just keep Verdugo in center field.
That's a lot, not a lot, but, you know, it's risky. But at the same time, it could be low risk, high reward, even though I think the risk is a little high just given Monday's game. But, you know, we're not going to see a dropped fly ball every single game. And if we do, you know, that's going to happen no matter where he is. And if we do, that's just another problem in and of itself if he's just dropping regular fly balls. But I think as much as, you know, he looks like a liability, or he looked like a liability on Monday, I almost feel like they kind of have to stick with what's going on now, or what they have going on now, because you're not taking anyone else out of that lineup. You know, you're not sacrificing Verdugo for whoever. You know, you have people, like, as much as it pains me, like Jonathan Aruz, who's going to sit when Kike comes back. You have Jairo Munoz, who's probably just going to go back to Worcester when he gets activated off the COVID list. But, you know, there's our people who are expendable, and Verdugo's just not one of them.
Yeah, and I just don't see another solution right now unless Bobby cools off and then you take him out of the lineup. But they'll have to figure that out. Obviously, there's still a month to play, and there's a lot to look at. You know, we'll talk about Chris Sale quickly. He gave up 10 hits on Monday, 3 2/3 innings, 5 runs. Only one of them was earned, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. You know, the 10 hits are concerning. Overall, though, I mean, there's a lot of ground ball dribblers up the middle. You know, one of the hits was a triple off the wall that Verdugo really could have caught. Do we even need to spend time on this? Sale was fine, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's anything to be concerned about at all.
He's still your starter in a wild card game?
Oh, 100%. I mean, he also opened the game with like a 93-mile-an-hour pitch, so I think we are just fine. And it's whatever. He's bound to have some off outings, right? He is coming off Tommy John surgery.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think he's still the guy. So that brings you to the constant question that we keep trying to figure out is what happens here in the playoffs. Obviously, still a month ago. The Yankees are really fading. which is crazy. I mean, they lost a series to the Orioles, and Yankees fans are turning on themselves, which is interesting to watch. They're mad at Aaron Boone. They're mad at management. Seems like they are leaving one of their best pitchers in Heel in the minor leagues right now, kind of like the Red Sox did with Tanner Houck for so long, and using Andrew Haney, who's been really quite terrible other than the one great game he had against the Red Sox. So the Yankees are falling apart. It's certainly feasible that the Red Sox could be hosting the wild card game. But it's getting interesting. Toronto now is only 3 games back of the Red Sox. Seattle's only 3 games back. Oakland's only 3.5 games back. So now all of a sudden with Toronto and Seattle as hot as they are, anything can happen here. And you start looking ahead and thinking about, okay, it's a good thing Red Sox have an easy schedule remaining, but how do they line this up? Can they get a good enough lead going into the final week where they can set their rotation up? Because if you look at a one-game elimination playoff system, I mean, it's all hands on deck in a playoff game. I mean, Sale might start the game, but then you're going to use Eovaldi. Maybe you're going to use Houck and Whitlock and Barnes, and you're using your best guys here. So I guess my question, Lauren, is how good are you feeling about the Red Sox playoff chances right now, and how good are you feeling about their ability to win a wild card game?
Even after Monday's loss, I still feel okay with them. I think that, and I said last week, one of my unpopular opinions was that they will take that second, the first wild card spot, is they'll move into second place in the AL East. And I still think that, but a lot of that's going to come too from the Yankees just falling all over themselves. I mean, the Red Sox had the chance on Monday to take the lead for second place, and they unfortunately could not. But, you know, it's going to be stuff like that when the Yankees lose to the Orioles that's really going to help the Red Sox, or lose to bad teams, because everyone loses to bad teams. I mean, the Orioles, you play 100 games against the Orioles, they're bound to win a few, you know? So it goes hand in hand, but I think that at the end of the day, obviously September's incredibly important, and I think that the Red Sox will figure it out, and it starts with one win, just takes one win to build momentum and go on a run here. And I think they'll be able to get a lead that's comfortable enough for them to be like, okay, we're going to skip Chris Sale's start, or we're going to skip Eovaldi's start or whatever, or like, hey, we're going to put Houck in the bullpen, so just to make sure he's rested. I think there's going to be enough room there to really figure it out, because like you said, everyone's got to be ready to go, and you're putting out your best lineup, you're making sure once Chris Sale comes off the mound that you're countering with, you know, Eovaldi or even Garrett Richards. So you come out, you got to go guns blazing, because it's playoff time and it's one game, and it's do or die. So I think that with the Red Sox schedule too, that they'll be able to get these wins, get important wins. Obviously the series with the Rays is very important. They can still win this series, which is very good and probably much needed at this point, but they really need to start winning games, because I mean, they just won 3 straight. They're capable of putting together these runs at the end of the day, but they're going to need help from the Yankees, which they're getting a lot of it right now. They're just not capitalizing on it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, coming up in the third segment, we've got our unpopular opinions, and we always end the show on a positive note, so stick around for that. We're brought to you by DirecTV. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone. You got your neighbor's best friends log in for some other good stuff. Well, how about just one way to get all of that entertainment you love without the hassle? It's a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and your on-demand favorites all together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes. You don't have to buy another device. You don't have to sign into something else. And the best part, there's no contract. So just get rid of the clutter, get rid of the confusion, get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. We're, of course, brought to you by Rock Auto. Always a great place to get your auto parts and anything you need for your car. You don't want to have to go to the local chain auto parts store. You don't have to want to go to the dealership if you need something for your car, if you need parts, if you need equipment, if you just want some cleaning supplies. You don't have to deal with all that. Don't endure the pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter is ordering the parts on their computer, which is something you could do yourself. You have a computer with rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. It's a family business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Prices are reliably low for every customer. So go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for your auto parts needs. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Welcome back to the third segment where we have our unpopular opinions, and I'm excited to hear Lauren's because it's been a while since I've gotten to hear your unpopular opinion.
It has been, and I'm coming in hot by saying that the Yankees will fall out of playoff contention. They won't even get a wild card spot. So,
wow.
Just from the way they've been going, and it's so weird because I feel like we've been so back and forth. I mean, we were questioning whether Aaron Boone makes it out of a specific series. Then they look like World Series contenders. And now it's kind of back to what the hell's going on with the Yankees. Like, does Aaron Boone have a job at the end of the season again? It's like just a vicious cycle that we're going through. But I think at the end of the day, there's a lot of hot teams in the AL trying to get the wild card spots, and I don't think the Yankees are going to be one of them.
All right, so that's an interesting take. I guess I don't think that's crazy at all. I mean, you look at what's going on right now with the Orioles knocking them around, and then Toronto knocked them around on Monday. Toronto's really hot. My bigger question is, if you're the Red Sox, who do you want to face? Because as good as Gerrit Cole is, they scored 5 runs off him in June, and actually 6 now that I'm looking at it. And I think about Toronto and I think about the lefties they have, and the Red Sox have struggled. I mean, Robbie Ray has been really good. Toronto just for whatever reason looks scary when they play the Red Sox. So I'd almost be more scared of Toronto if I was a Red Sox fan. We haven't seen enough of the Mariners to really know how good they are. I'm not even sure how they've been winning. I've heard like nothing about the Mariners, but if you had to choose between the Yankees and the Blue Jays, I'd almost rather play the Yankees if I was the Red Sox.
Yeah, I would too, just because, I mean, you nailed it when you said that the Blue Jays look scary when they're playing the Red Sox. The Red Sox can't seem to really figure them out, and they're obviously a good team. They have incredible offense. Their pitching is good. So, you know, they've fared well against the Yankees this year, so you'd almost want that because just the history is there, the stats are there, then it's almost, it's fun playing the Yankees in the playoffs too. But the Blue Jays, I am scared of the Blue Jays because they look like they are hungry for this playoff spot.
They do. All right. Well, I'm going to go with my unpopular opinion, which is that when Matt Barnes returns, you put him right in the ninth inning. And I know Adam Ottavino's been okay, but I think you got to get Barnes some confidence. And as poorly as he has pitched, it'd be one thing if Adam Ottavino just took this job and ran away with it while Barnes has been out with COVID. But he hasn't. You know, he basically blew the game on Saturday when he allowed 3 runs, and he was lucky that Verdugo had the walk-off in the bottom of the ninth. But he looked awful on Saturday against the Indians. And then on Monday, once again, comes in and blows the game in the ninth. Obviously, Verdugo dropped the ball. I mean, again, don't think he was going to catch the Austin Meadows hit. It's just a matter of whether it was a double, triple, or inside the Parker. Ends up being an inside the Parker. But it's just it's the inconsistency from Adam Ottavino. And is this a guy that you trust in the ninth inning or a guy you just try to find good matchups for? And I think that's where he's been successful, is when Cora is able to just find a good matchup for him. I know they've used Garrett Whitlock as well. I don't really like him as a closer. He's just so young. He doesn't have experience. The one thing Barnes has is experience. So when he comes back, put him right in the ninth. Try to get him some confidence. You got a month left here. You know, I know every game is important here, and if he pitches terribly in 2 games, all right, you know, move things around. But I think you got to get this guy some confidence as soon as you get a chance to.
I mean, that's what he needs, too, because he was struggling, and then he gets, you know, quote-unquote shut down for a couple games and not being made available. And then he comes back and he does not do well. And then he goes and gets COVID and has to go be out for at least 10 days. So he can't even get himself into a rhythm. But I agree, because I think that as bad as he was and as bad as his August and September, and just, he just couldn't find who he was in the beginning of the season. He has to start somewhere. He has to be able to get back out there, go into these high leverage situations and just figure it out. You know, he was so solid in the first half that it's in there somewhere. He just needs to get back to being the confident Matt Barnes.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we always end the show on a positive note. Lauren went first with unpopular opinion, so I'll go first here. So my positive note is not a big surprise. It's Bobby Dalbec, who I think is playing tremendous, and everybody knows that. But I just need to get a chance to apologize to the Bobby Dalbec lovers out there, because I've kind of been poo-pooing on this guy since we started this podcast. I had not seen a whole lot from him that made me think he was going to be a good player coming into maybe mid-August, I would say. And even then, when he had a good week against the Rays and the Orioles, I think it was, I did not think it was that impressive. It was like against the Rays backup catcher and a guy who got just lit by the Red Sox and the Orioles. And I was like, still not really buying. All of a sudden, Bobby Dalbec actually looks good. He's choking up. He's working with two strikes. He's hitting the ball to left field. He's hitting the ball to right field. By the way, plays a great third base, almost to the point where you wonder why he's playing first base. I know it's a need right now, but man, he looks better at third than Devers does, and he doesn't look very good at first. So you wonder about that, too, if other teams were looking at that maybe for next year and saying, maybe we could use this guy at third base. The Red Sox did want to trade him because they have Tristan Casas coming up to play first pretty soon. But I just got to give Bobby Dalbec some credit. I've been poo-pooing him all season. He actually looks so much better. The question is whether he is just in a hot streak right now and making it look better than he is, or if he's actually figured some things out, because his plate discipline's better. I appreciate that he's not trying to hit home runs all the time. It looks like he's just trying to hit line drives. We know he's strong enough to hit home runs when he connects. Just hit line drives, Bobby. It's working for you.
I would love to go back and see what his numbers are since the day that he was like my positive takeaway, because he had 5 RBI in a game, and you were like, well, you know, they were simple RBI, like they were gifts. I would love to see. They absolutely were. I would love to go back and see like what he's hitting since that show, just to see maybe he heard you. Maybe you fixed him. And he was like, right, I'm going to prove this guy wrong.
Not including Monday's game, because I don't have those stats lined up, but not including Monday's game when he actually had a great game. What'd he do? He had 2 RBIs and a double and a walk. Since that 5 RBI game, he's hitting .328, 7 homers, 17 RBIs, and 1,176 OPS in 19 games. So, yeah, he's proving me wrong.
But that's a good thing.
Sure, yeah. It's good for the Red Sox. All right, what's yours?
So mine is that Jonathan Araúz, obviously anyone who's listened to this knows that I love him and I want him in this lineup. And you do. I said that he should stay in this lineup, and he's continuing to make that case. He's played hero so many times. He's come in clutch. He's played really good defense. And he's just, you know, he's making the most of his time here. Unfortunately, he probably will get optioned to Worcester, but at the same time, he's really making a case, and he's showing that he can play with the big boys and stay and play at a major league level. So I just love what he's been doing. I love seeing him so come up big in these big moments, and he's swinging good bat. He's putting a good glove on the ball, and I'm just so excited for him. And it just makes it so much better that I have like talked this guy up so much. So I was like, he keeps going, and I was like, yes, do your thing, keep doing this, because every time he gets a hit, makes a big play, it just gets me like 1 inch closer to buying his jersey.
Well, he's got to be a big leaguer, and that the question is how long is he going to be a big leaguer for? He certainly has had some clutch moments. There's no question about it. He's not in the big leagues for his offense. He's there to play defense and move around. But he's had some big moments. He's only 23, so all right. You know, I haven't really thought much of this guy, but I'll keep him on my radar because I know you love him. So, all right, well, that's our show for Tuesday. Come back on Wednesday. We got more Rays Red Sox to recap. We'll see if the Yankees bounce back or if they continue falling down the hole as the Red Sox were a few weeks ago. Suddenly the tables have turned there. You can find all of my work in the Boston Herald or follow me on Twitter at jmastrodonato.
And you can read all my work on Nesson.com and find me on Twitter at LaLaLaLauren, 3 Laws, Lauren with 4 R's, and the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at LO_Red Sox.
And thank you so much for listening, and hopefully we'll see you soon. Have a great day. We're brought to you by the Locked On Bets podcast. Betting doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.